Next on The Old Mole, Desiree Helligers talks with Sarah Chivers.
For this segment today, my guest is Sarah Chivers. Sarah has a PhD in sociology from Washington State University. And for more than a decade, she's adjuncted at universities and community colleges throughout the Portland-Vancouver metropolitan area, including at WSU Vancouver, Portland State University, Chemeketa, and Pacific University. She teaches courses in intersectional sociology, methods of social research, community development, and community organizing. She's a member of the Oregon Educational Association local chapter of faculty at Chemeketa and the American Federation of Teachers local chapter of part-time faculty at Portland State. She's a primary caregiver for two sons who are enrolled in the Beaverton School District. Sarah, thanks so much for making time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Desiree. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so you're really in the crosshairs of three kind of unfolding crises, one in higher ed, one in K-12 education, and the other with respect to childcare. So while it's looking like universities and schools in Washington State are moving online in the fall, the situation in Oregon is a lot more ambiguous. And, you know, the governor has issued parameters that leave school districts as to whether or not to open up in person or to go online. So for academics with children in K-12, the situation is particularly complex and baffling, but especially so for adjuncts who, in the best of times, are treated as disposable workers and whose normal working conditions and pay are already outrageously exploitive, are likely to be among the first casualties of budget cuts in the coming months. So can you talk a little bit about some of the intense and enhanced pressures that adjuncts, and especially adjuncts who are caregivers, are facing right now?
There's so much gray area everywhere. The rules are constantly changing for our work, for everything. And it's labor 24/7. It's continuously going from taking care of kids to prepping courses to taking trainings on how to do online delivery or universal design learning. So it's really exhausting physically and emotionally to just be managing all that at the same time without there really being much structure or predictability as to what's going to happen in the future.
And that kind of additional stress makes you more vulnerable to health issues.
It's really disheartening to think about the thousands of adjuncts in the state of Oregon who work part-time at multiple institutions and who have accumulated full-time teaching hours and then some, you know, teaching a full-time load, but not really being compensated as full-time workers and not having access to health care. It's scary because there's a lot of consequences to not having health care during a pandemic.
Who's in the worst position across the board is, you know, the adjuncts who are running from campus to campus, risking exposure at, you know, multiple sites.
Some of us teach on campuses and communities that are hotspots that, you know, rely on essential workers who don't have health care.
Has Portland State made a decision yet about what they're going to do in the fall?
We continue to be barraged by emails with rollout plans, and ultimately it's the governor that makes the calls, and the Oregon Health Authority and Oregon Department of Education are working together. But as you highlighted, there's so much flexibility in how schools and school districts can approach things. At first, a lot of schools sounded like they were going to offer hybrid models, but now it sounds like we're going all online through November, and many of us realists are just planning on the whole school year being online, both K-12 and in higher education. There's a group of educators online who've worked really hard the last couple weeks pushing for 14 days of no new COVID cases before any face-to-face, person-to-person learning happens at all. And I think that they put a lot of pressure on the governor and are doing it. And the union leadership is just catching up to that. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 2 weeks as the disaster spread in Florida and Texas.
It's kind of disturbing. There's a lot of pressure to be developing materials to teach in, you know, one format or the other. At the same time, as we're looking at the potential for draconian budget cuts in higher ed, you are facing the possibility of being the first laid off.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a paradox. I mean, everybody needs to learn. Communities need resources that are frequently distributed through colleges and K-12 public schools, but we are so under-resourced. In Oregon, we've been under-resourced for years, but it just continues to get worse and worse. And you know, all the extra hours of labor that teachers are doing and learning these new software platforms and learning programs, they're changing constantly, and our students aren't going to be able to keep up with this. Our students don't have the resources to do this, because before the pandemic, students are dealing with issues of food insecurity, houselessness, and their own, you know, access to healthcare and resources. It's ridiculous. I'm waiting for more parents and teachers to be as disturbed by the situation as I am. But I think it's going to take some more community conversations.
Okay. And also, I mean, the issues of food insecurity and houselessness really are impacting many adjuncts, even pre-pandemic, right? And we're looking at what, about 30% of renters nationwide have been unable to make their rent this month. And we're looking at the potential for an enormous wave of evictions that might also affect many adjuncts.
You know, I have colleagues, friends who are adjuncts who are math professors teaching at our local community college and state-funded university, who can't afford to rent their own home, that have to rent a bedroom out of someone else's house to survive. They're teaching to 9 classes per year at various places, and they don't even have health care. It's McUniversity. It's how can we get the most from students, paying the most, funding the least, as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And, you know, students and adjuncts, we classified employees, we are at the bottom of the ivory tower. There's tremendous consequences and implications for what's happening at warp speed with very few resources. And kids are really losing out. We're going to see a generation of kids dealing with what our school systems and our legislators are putting us through as parents, teachers, right now.
I think that goes to the question of sort of income inequality in both K-12 and higher ed. And, you know, I'm most familiar with those conditions in higher ed and the fact that, you know, we have adjuncts who are making a pittance per class, while we have many administrators, certainly on the Washington side of the river, who are making in excess of the governor's salary. So we have enormous concentration of wealth and enormous salaries at the top from administrators, but they're not at the same kind of risk of exposure in the classroom.
Just from looking at recent salary data for administrators across, you know, public universities and colleges in Oregon and Washington, there are at least a dozen administrators at each school that make what an adjunct makes in a year, an administrator makes in 1 month. Huge disparities in how student tuition dollars and state funding is distributed to people who are trying to educate and build knowledge for community empowerment.
How can concerned listeners help with this?
Well, if you're an adjunct and you are not a member of a union, I would say, you know, reach out. There's a number of different options for part-time faculty, for full-time faculty. There are even unions for unemployed workers. I would say connecting with another adjunct and really understanding what's happening on the ground is really important too. Adjuncts are very isolated from each other. And that's part of the challenge of organizing. We come to and from our courses and we spend lots of contact time with students, but we really don't have a community. So we need to work hard as adjuncts to build that community. You know, there's roles for everyone to play. Students, we really want to build student success as much as possible. So building coalitions and relationships with our students is really vital in order to make education more equitable. I'd say, you know, in the short term, we need to put the fire to our legislators. There's not a lot of progress being made about healthcare issues. There's very little about legislators wanting to cap or minimize how much administrators can make. So I think, you know, in terms of legislation, those are two really important pieces, making sure that educators have healthcare and making sure that universities are distributing their revenue in equitable ways that support student learning and success is really vital.
And that last part really involves all legislative cap to administrative salaries, right? To make
Yes.
sure that we don't have this kind of gross inequality within the university system. So Sarah, thank you so much for talking with me today. My guest today has been Sarah Chivers, and she's an adjunct professor at sociology who's been working for the past decade within the Vancouver-Portland metropolitan area. Sarah, thanks again.
Thank you.
This has been Desiree Helgers for the Oldmore Variety Hour.